Welcome to Collective Culture, a podcast where we discuss Twitter, youth, participatory journalism, and social movements. We're excited to start the conversation and dive into the data. In this episode, Sam will be looking into Black Lives Matter and how Twitter was used in this movement.
Okay, so today I'm going to be discussing my analysis of the impact of participatory journalism on the Black Lives Matter social movement that is currently happening in 2020.
Thanks for joining us. Can you start off with a brief just overview of what Black Lives Matter is?
Yeah, for sure. So the Black Lives Matter movement is a social movement started by Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Opal Tometi in 2013. So this movement advocates for nonviolent protest against innocence of police brutality against Black people. So the movement initially started after an incident of police brutality against Trayvon Martin that unfortunately ended in his death in 2012. So there were a ton of street demonstrations after this incident took place, but protests were primarily done online, and people started using the hashtag Black Lives Matter and hashtag BLM. And it really started to gain traction and gain a ton of movement online and just develop and grow into this huge social movement. So the movement has grown over the past 7 years and still continues to push for the awareness of the disproportionate effect of police brutality on Black people. In May of this year, George Floyd was murdered in broad daylight by several officers using excessive force. There was video footage of the incident captured and shared online, and almost instantly the video gained millions of views. The movement was reignited on a global scale. Because this has happened so recently, the movement is still continuing to talk about this. The discussion hasn't stopped, and it is still so prevalent online. Like I said before, the Black Lives Matter movement has gained international traction over the past 3 months and continues to grow. Protests have become online and in person, especially because right now we are dealing with a global pandemic. So it's definitely impacted the way that people are protesting for this movement and activating voices online and using their platforms online.
Awesome. Thanks for kind of giving an overview and laying a background.
Yeah, for sure.
So diving into more of the data side and data collection, can you talk about your quantitative data?
Yeah, for sure. So to grab the tweets that I decided to kind of analyze and go through for our codebook, I decided to collect 50 tweets from Twitter, and I used the advanced search function to do this. So Twitter actually allows you to use the search function and filter it by date, specific hashtags, and the amount of engagement that a tweet has received. So to do this, because the movement has been going on since 2013, there are going to be tweets from that time. So there is a lot of information, a lot of data online. So in this case, I decided to filter it down to the most kind of recent reignition of the movement, which started in May after the murder of George Floyd. So I adjusted the dates accordingly, only to show those tweets that were made from May to August of 2020. I stopped it at the very beginning of August, even though this is continuing and tweets are still being made, but I wanted to have kind of just a solid timeline to do those results. And then for hashtags, I used the filter to set it for Black Lives Matter and BLM and just sorted through a ton of those.
Awesome. So within the results that you found, like from these tweets, what were the key takeaways?
There was a lot of overlap in the different categories of tweets that we had kind of set aside of what we wanted to, what we were interested in finding the content that we were actively looking for. So I thought it was very interesting that there were a ton of tweets from across the spectrum. It was not just kind of one singular idea where they were promoting a kind of like information-based tweets or frustration with how things were going, but it was pretty much across the board for some reason, this movement seems to be very opinionated driven, like opinion driven, and people have a lot of different outlooks on how this movement is taking place. So that was very interesting to me. Overall, I had about 12 tweets that were containing solely information, 11 that were voicing concern. So those are definitely the top two categories that I had. And then 10 showing support. The lesser amount of tweets were criticizing the movement and featuring like frustration and a lot of just anger about the movement. And this movement overall has just encompassed passion, if anything. And I think that is what has helped it grow and helped it kind of become this massive movement internationally.
Awesome. So within these tweets that you found, do you think you could give us just like a few examples, just so we can kind of see what these look like?
Yeah, for sure. So the examples that I wanted to share with you kind of demonstrate how this movement has grown beyond just speaking about police brutality and the injustices of racial discrimination, and rather just the entire everything, like everything has been taken over by this movement. So the first tweet that I looked at was, serious question, isn't this performative activism by the NBA to serve to commodify the Black Lives Matter movement into a logo? Hashtag Black Lives Matter, hashtag NBA is back. So this is taking something completely different. So something from the sports world where NBA is like coming back from the bubble, everything's happening. And then they're looking at it from the lens of Black Lives Matter. And I think that's really important to see that just current events are being looked at through a different lens than they were before. And then it also gets into performative activism, which I will definitely get into a little bit later. The second tweet that I decided to look at was, hey all, for all of you TikTok users out there, there's a movement slash protest today highlighting the prevalent racism on the app. All day, people are liking, following, and commenting on Black creators' posts with the hashtags Black Lives Matter, Black Voices Heard, and Black Voices Matter. I thought this was important to note because we are focusing on a younger demographic, and TikTok has been huge for the social movement and the digital activism aspect of this movement as a whole. TikTok actually had this day where there were videos only featured by Black creators, so you could scroll through your timeline and that's all you were seeing, were videos that were highlighted and featuring Black voices that are often unheard. And I thought it was just kind of important. It was nice to see people just sharing information about the movement without there having to be some sort of like negative aspect or frustration or concern to it. It was just like promoting the positivity of the movement.
Awesome. So you mentioned a few hashtags like Black Voices Heard, Black Lives Matter, of course, NBA is back. Do you think you could go into how these hashtags like influence the engagement of the tweets?
Yeah, for sure. So in figure three, you can kind of see there's a chart that kind of outlines how the hashtags took effect in the movements online. So the hashtag does allow Twitter users to have their content viewed by people beyond those that follow their account regularly. So you kind of have this opportunity to go beyond your social circle, beyond the people that you're used to like showcasing on your platform, and have it viewed by people internationally. So I think this is what definitely pushes the movement to grow globally and have this impact overall. So people can look through specific hashtags and only view tweets that feature those just to stay on top of like the news, current events. So this feature really increases the overall engagement and allows the tweet to be seen by a much larger audience. Hashtags also help to keep the conversation going. So if a hashtag is initially trending and it stays on trending, people often check the trending tab of their Twitter to kind of see what's up, like what have I missed saying? And if it's right in front of them, chances are you're going to have a lot of people viewing the content, a lot of people interacting with the tweets, and a lot of people keeping the hashtags just like going and keeping them on top of the trending tab. Molly did refer to the trending tab earlier in your podcast as well. And I thought this was really important to note because I think that has definitely pushed the participatory journalism aspect of it, if anything, because people can use the hashtag and add on their piece to the story, add on the information that they have in their personal life, like their own opinion, rather than just the information coming from like one or like singular news source or something. So I definitely think it helps to gain like a much wider perspective and allows people to share their content in a way that has never really been done before.
Awesome. Thanks. I really like the way that you tied in participatory journalism to like hashtags and trending. That's really good. So regarding Twitter, how was engagement like affected?
Yeah. So going through the tweets that I collected, the engagement was all over the place. Like I didn't really see any sort of correlation that was these topics are about information and these ones are frustrated and they have more engagement. There wasn't a clear line to draw, like to connect those two. A lot of it depended on initial following that the people had. So if they already had like a pretty large platform, obviously they're gonna get more interaction and more engagement. But if I was looking at, I looked at a few different profiles who had similar amount of followers and a similar amount of people on their platform, and then looked at their Black Lives Matter tweets and the tweets that they used featuring the hashtags, and it wasn't really impacted. It didn't really have like a ton of impact on how much engagement they were kind of garnering by that. But
right.
So I don't think the category really influences it. But I think the hashtag definitely can procure more engagement overall.
Right. Something that is obviously happening right now is Black Lives Matter. It's relevant. It's modern. Like it's really, really a huge thing that we're seeing on social media right now. So how does that impact the research available?
Yeah, for sure. So this was definitely one of the challenges that I did face, because we are really living through a history book moment. This movement is live and continues to grow and change every day. Policies are being changed, people are protesting, like it's all happening in front of us. We are seeing it on the news. Everything's going on right now. So there are less kind of like expert opinions that are fully kind of in-depth and curated. And it's more, you're seeing these people who are experts in the field sharing their opinions on social media and using their own platforms. One of the tweets that I grabbed before was Dr. Ibram, and he tweeted about, he was just kind of using his voice. I've read two of his books before, just one of them is How to Be an Anti-Racist. So he is like an expert in the field, and he just decides to share like full pages of just his thoughts, like just notes, where he's sharing his expert opinion rather than having the time to create like full journals and publish this, because you don't have the time right now. If you want to share your opinion, you're sharing it online, you're sharing it on social media. So I think that was really interesting to me to see.
Awesome. Thanks for kind of diving into that. It is really a unique situation where we are living in a history book moment. And so it's really cool being part of that. So collecting this data, did you find there was any key challenges? Of course, like you mentioned, it being happening right now, there's a lack of like credible sources like that are in the academic field, but were there any other challenges?
A big thing that I noticed was the aspect of performative activism online, and a lot of users sharing thoughts and feelings without any sort of, I don't even know how to qualify it, it's like passion for the project or passion for the movement. So performative activism, just to give like a little bit of an overview, is when social media users post about a social movement only because it's trending, or only because it's popular, and because they think that they're gonna look passionate if their friends see that they're sharing something about like current events, right? So with the intention to appear that they're in touch with current events and care about the social movement, when in reality it's mostly performative. So one challenge that I had was that there's no real way to measure this performative activism unless you follow a user's post over a long period of time. And that's something that we could definitely look into in the future if we were looking on following specific users. But because we were following just specific hashtags and looking at specific tweets, it's not really something that we got into. But yeah, I think it's definitely more prevalent in this movement than in the previous two movements that we discussed, because we really are living in this kind of time period of social media fame and trending and wanting to be this kind of like curate your profile online and really showcase who you are and what you want people to perceive you as. And I think the performative activism is a major part of that, especially when it came to Black Lives Matter on Twitter and on Instagram. There were people posting images of black squares with no real caption or understanding or just description of what the movement really means to them or the impact that the movement is having on the world around them. So I think that's definitely like a major challenge that I faced, was kind of taking those apart and reading into the tweets and seeing, does this person live this life that they're tweeting, or is it just kind of a surface level thing that they're hashtagging Black Lives Matter to look like they care about current events, right?
Right.
So yeah, in the future, I think it would be worthwhile to look into that and follow users over an extended period of time, but not something that we could really do in this case.
Right. Awesome. Thanks for touching on that. That's really interesting. And definitely opening the door for new research in the future. So that's great. So we're actually coming to the end of our time here on this podcast for this episode. So do you think you would wrap up your findings just with like key takeaways from both qualitative and quantitative like data that you collected?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the major thing that I kind of recognized was how across the board that this movement is and how different the opinions are for this movement. I think unlike Arab Spring and unlike Yo Soy 1-2, it almost seemed like you were here for it or you were not here for it, right? Like you were either with it or against it. And this one, there's such a spectrum. It's become a political debate. It's become like an emotional, mental debate, lifestyle, like all of these different aspects of the movement have been encompassed in this entire like online demonstration. And I think that was definitely a major takeaway for me, was kind of recognizing that it's not just people saying Black Lives Matter or all lives matter. It's not just one or the other. There is definitely such a drastic change in opinion over all of these tweets. And I think that was really interesting to see for the quantitative data. And then in terms of the qualitative data, it's interesting to see how experts are sharing their opinions and sharing their thoughts online and using the digital platform to kind of use it as their own participatory journalism, right? They're kind of shaping the story as they go along, and rather than just publishing something that is going to be seen by likely a smaller audience, they're putting it out there to gain traction when it's really necessary and really needed.
Awesome. Thank you so much for all your insights, Sam. That was
of course. Thank you.